From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. Over and over again in Scripture, we find these exhortations: fear not, do not be afraid, and the many other variations of that bold statement. But with so much chaos around us, both on a global scale and within our own personal lives, how can we face every day with hope and courage? That's the topic we're going to explore together over the coming next weeks in my brand new series, Courageous: 10 Strategies for Thriving in a Hostile World. And we're starting today with survival tip number one: don't panic, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
Christians in America are under siege. Learn how to navigate the tumultuous terrain of a godless culture with a brand new book from Dr. Jeffress called Courageous: 10 Strategies for Thriving in a Hostile World. It's Dr. Jeffress's boldest book yet. When your faith is under attack, when you're tempted to just follow the crowd, these 10 strategies will ignite a fearless fire, a bright hope for facing life with confidence. Request your copy of Courageous when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory today.
Flight from Columbus, Ohio to Los Angeles, California was routine. Aboard U.S. Air Flight 1493, David Koch sat shoeless in the first class compartment's seat 2A. On their final approach, Koch watched the sun sink below the horizon. Moments later, he felt the familiar jolt and heard the screech of the tires as the 737 jet carrying 83 passengers and 6 crew members touched down on LAX's runway 24 left. Then Koch says he heard a sudden, sickening crunch. Sparks hurtled past his window, followed by the bright flash of a fireball. Screams filled the aircraft as the flight attendant shouted, "Stay down!" As the plane skidded along the runway, Koch unbuckled his seatbelt to prepare for a quick exit. The plane came to a violent stop, and another explosion rocked the cabin, throwing Koch forward into the front row first-class seats and then into the bulkhead. Trying to stay calm under the smoke, Koch crawled toward the back of the plane. In a panic, other passengers trampled him. "I encountered a fighting, frenzied mob jamming the aisle," he later said. "Escape was probably impossible because I was last in line to get out the rear exit. I concluded that I was probably going to die. At that point, I stood up and, choking heavily on the smoke, walked back toward the first class section. I was not panicked, nor was I terrified," Koch remembered. "I was resigned, and I knew with absolute certainty that I was going to die." Then it came to him. If smoke was coming in from the front of the plane, then there had to be an opening that might offer a way of escape. He worked his way toward the cockpit, but seeing flames lick the passenger door, he realized that was an impossible route. On the verge of passing out, he guessed he maybe had 10 or 15 seconds before he would fall unconscious. He turned to the opposite wall and saw a crack in the fuselage. He wedged his fingers into it and pulled. It was the galley door, and it opened to the outside. He thrust his head through and gulped a few breaths of air. A tremendous sense of strength came over me, and a wave of adrenaline shot through my body, he said. Koch looked down and saw a fire burning under the airplane. To clear the flames, he jumped away from the wreckage and hit the asphalt 10 feet below. Other survivors were scattered about. Some sobbed, some were silent, and some stared in disbelief at the burning aircraft. "I consider it a miracle that I escaped," Koch said, "and that I came through the ordeal as well as I did." Today we're beginning a new series I've titled Courageous, 10 Strategies for Thriving in a Hostile World. Survival experts tell us that there are 10 strategies that are essential for our survival whenever we find ourselves in a threatening situation, like an earthquake, an avalanche, or in this case, a burning aircraft. In the same way, as Christians, we are living in a threatening environment. This is just as real as the ones I've mentioned. We have an adversary, the devil, who is intent on destroying everything important to us. We have a culture that is increasingly hostile to the things of God. And if that were not enough, we all carry around us that fallen nature, the residuals of it anyway, that are opposed to everything God wants for our life. How can we ever hope to survive that kind of environment? Well, today we're going to look at the first of 10 survival tips. And it's the one that David Koch illustrated in that U.S. Air flight. It's the most basic of all survival tips. Don't panic. Don't panic. You know, the number one survival rule in any threatening situation is don't panic. And yet studies have shown when people face hostile environments, they respond in one of three ways. 10% of people engage in fight, F-I-G-H-T. That is, they're able to harness their emotions, think soundly, and attack the problem. Only 10% of people do that. The other 10% of people engage in flight. That is, they run away from the situation, or more accurately, they run around like a headless chicken, not knowing what to do. Many of the passengers in that aircraft did that. 10% fight, 10% flight, but 80% of people in a dangerous situation simply freeze. They panic. They don't know what else to do. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter was writing to a culture of Christians then, just like us today, who had been invaded by unbelievers. Unbelievers seemed to be winning. Christians seemed to be losing. And Peter said, don't worry about it. Even though you're starting to suffer very real persecution, keep calm and carry on. Don't panic. How do you do that? I want you to notice in this first chapter of 1 Peter, he gives us three commands to keep us from panicking. First of all, he says, be disciplined in your thinking. Be disciplined in your thinking. Look at verse 13. Therefore, gird your minds for action. Remember, the Roman soldier wore a free-flowing tunic, which was very comfortable, but it also could be very dangerous in battle. If an enemy grabbed hold of the end of that tunic, he could gain an advantage over the soldier. So the first thing Roman soldier did was to gird up his tunic. That is, take the free-flowing tunic and tuck it in the Roman belt. And what Peter is saying here to us is, take hold of any loose, undisciplined thinking in your life. Don't let it go unchallenged. Why is that? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Our mind, our thoughts are command central for everything that we do. Not only that, he says, to keep from panicking, to keep calm and carry on, be obedient in your conduct. Look at verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all of your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That word holy literally means to be separate. God says, if you want to live successfully in this threatening world, be separate in your conduct. Now, he's not saying separate yourself from other people. God doesn't call on us to separate ourselves from other people. He is saying, make sure you live in a way that is different from those around you. Thirdly, be reliant on God's grace. Be reliant on God's grace. C.S. Lewis has one of the best descriptions of this world. He said, enemy occupied territory. That's what this world is. How can we survive, much less thrive, in enemy-occupied territory? Look at what Peter says in 1 Peter 5:12. This is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. Stand firm in the grace of God. Now, what in the world does that mean? You know, whenever we think of grace, we think of God's undeserved favor that resulted in our salvation. And that's certainly one aspect of grace. God's undeserved favor. Somebody said it's God's undeserved burst of generosity. The Bible says for no other reason than the great love with which God loved you, he sent Christ to die for you and me. It's nothing we deserved. It's his grace, his undeserved favor. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by what? Grace. You have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But grace also refers to, in the Bible, God's supernatural help. You know, I look in the Bible and find one man who was certainly a profile of the kind of courage we're talking about. His name was Joshua. Joshua was somebody who faced an daunting task, but he refused to panic in that situation. And you remember in the opening part of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. He was saying, Joshua, Moses is home with me. And now it's your turn to carry on the great assignment and the great plan I have for Israel. I can imagine how Joshua must have felt. You want me to follow Moses? The guy who led the Israelites out of Egypt? The guy who parted the Red Sea? The guy who had that famous movie made about him? You want me to follow him, how in the world am I going to pull that off? How did Joshua keep from panicking in that impossible task he had been given to do? I want you to notice that God gave Joshua two limitless resources. The same limitless resources he gives to you and me to face impossible situations. First of all, he gave Joshua courage from God's promises. Courage from God's promises. In this passage, Joshua 1, I want you to notice the three promises that God gave to Joshua. First of all, God promised that the Israelites would enter the land. Look at verses 3 and 4. Every place on which the sole of your feet treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, that is the Mediterranean, toward the setting of the sun, this will be your territory. Never forget, this land that is being battled over right now in the Middle East, God gave that land to Israel. God gave that land to Israel. Secondly, God promised that the Israelites would be victorious over their enemies. Look at verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor will I forsake you. He said, I'm going to give you victory over your enemies. But you know, when you and I think about our enemies, we think about godless unbelievers. We think about the devil. Those are all real enemies, but the greatest enemies we face are within. Our own fallen nature, the remnant of it, that still loves to sin and is naturally disposed to oppose God. We've got to realize we've still got that draw inside of us that we have to overcome. The good news is 1 John 5:4 promises, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The Bible has given us a promise that just like the Israelites would be victorious over their enemies, we can be victorious over sin in our life. Romans 6:7 says, we have been freed from sin, and therefore we should act like it. As Paul said in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Thirdly, God promised the Israelites that they would divide the land as an inheritance. Verse 6, God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Now look, God gave the Israelites a piece of real estate. He said it's going to belong to you forever. But God has given you, he's given me something even more valuable than a plot of land. Peter describes it in 1 Peter 1:4. He says, we are to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Did you know God has an inheritance for you? It is on deposit in heaven right now. And there is nothing that can ever cause that inheritance to be lost. It is the promise of eternal life. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God has promised you that inheritance. He said, with that truth, why should you ever be discouraged? Joshua promised his people when he was about to die in Joshua 23:14, not one word of all the good words the Lord your God has spoken to you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. Joshua received courage from God's promises, but there's a second limitless resource he gives us all, and that is courage from God's presence. Look at verse 9. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, folks, think about that. God has promised no matter what situation you're facing in your work, in your family, any other venue of life, God says, I am with you wherever you go. Jesus promised that in Matthew 28:20. He said, and lo, I am with you always, always, even unto the end of the age. I want you to notice something here. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, again, I didn't really see this until this week. I want you to notice how he repeats a certain phrase three times. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. And then verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. See, three times he says, be strong and courageous. We are not alone if we are in Christ. And Christ is capable of doing everything. I love the words of Peter Kraft, who said, God has more power in one breath of his spirit than all the winds of war, all the nuclear bombs, all the energy of all the suns and all the galaxies, all the fury of hell itself. How many of you believe in a God like that? A God who can do anything. He can do anything. Therefore, as he said to Joshua, why should you tremble or be dismayed? Jesus said, do not fear the things you are about to suffer. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And secondly, he relied on God's presence. He believed the promise of Jesus, who said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. That's why Paul could say with confidence, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Don't panic.
Two simple words, don't panic. So easy to say and often so difficult to live out when we're caught in the middle of a storm. But Joshua reminds us to take courage from God's promises and from God's presence. For the Lord is with you wherever you go. Now, before our time is up, let me share an encouraging word from one of your fellow viewers of Pathway to Victory, because God is really working through your generosity to this ministry. Recently, I heard from Gregory, who watches in Arizona. He said, Pastor Jeffress, in recent years, I chose to run away from God, but my niece pointed me to your Bible teaching, and I was completely convicted about the state of my relationship with God. Once again, he has reached out and touched me and set my feet on a path back home to him. Well, we rejoice in that, Gregory. Thank you so much for writing. And to those of you who give generously to Pathway to Victory, it's your investment in this ministry that allows us to touch lives all around the world through radio and television and the many books and other resources we offer. Now, please stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
Christians today are facing relentless attacks from an ungodly culture, a formidable spiritual enemy, and our own sinful nature. We cannot afford to surrender. Learn how to stay strong in your faith with Courageous, 10 Strategies for Thriving in a Hostile World. Dr. Jeffress's boldest book yet.
People who survive life-threatening situations have two things in common, a different response to troubles and a different perspective on life. And in my new book, Courageous, I'll give you the biblical tools you need to conquer whatever challenges come your way. This is the most important and boldest book I've ever written.
Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North says, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, this is a must-read book. Request your hardcover copy of Courageous when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory. As an added bonus, we'll also send you 10 Courageous encouragement cards. Keep them with you for support and encouragement when you need to be courageous. Plus, when you give $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete unedited Courageous teaching series on CD and DVD.
Satan has a plan to destroy your marriage. A plan to cause your children to rebel against God. A plan to cause you to lose your witness for Jesus Christ. How can we survive, much less thrive, in that kind of environment? We can live our faith courageously.
Don't allow yourself to become sidelined by fear. Request your copy of the Courageous Resources today from Pathway to Victory.
Experts tell us that whenever we find ourselves in a threatening situation, there are 10 strategies that are essential to our survival.
In the same way, Christians are living in a threatening environment like never before that can be just as dangerous to our well-being. And I hope you'll join us over the next several months as we discover these 10 biblical strategies for thriving in a hostile world. This is all in our new series, Courageous. Well, every first responder knows the importance of situational awareness. If we don't take stock of our surroundings, we could end up standing in even greater danger. So, how can we be more aware of what's taking place around us? Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Jeffress' brand new book, Courageous, 10 Strategies for Thriving in a Hostile World. Plus, the Courageous Encouragement Cards are our gift to you simply for contacting us today at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete Courageous teaching series on both CD and DVD. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
How aware are you of the testing situations you find yourself in? How aware are you of what is really happening around you? You say, well, Pastor, that's a stupid question. I know what's happening around me. Do you? Do you really understand the situation you're in?
Set your DVR and join us next time for survival tip number 2, gain situational awareness, here on Pathway to Victory.
As much as 1/5 of Scripture consists of prophecy, and I want to show you the actual places in Israel where these prophecies will unfold on the Pathway to Victory Biblical Prophecy Tour of Israel.
Stand on the Mount of Olives, walk the streets of Jerusalem, look out over the Valley of Armageddon, discovering the impact of these historic places on your faith and your future. Join us on the Pathway to Victory Biblical Prophecy Tour of Israel, March 2 through 12, 2021.